Shalom Aleichem. My name is Rabbi Adam Dubin. Our learning this evening is Lezecher Nishmas Velva Wolf Zeb Ben Aaron, Dr. Zev Zelenko. If you're interested in sponsoring, please reach out to the team at 917-626-8306 or visit shareenjoyment.com. Additionally, all of my learning, Lezecher Nishmas Rabbi Mori, Moshe David, Ben Rav Yitzchak Isaac, or Moshe David Temlin. So this week's Parsha, as we know, is Parsha's Emor, and a lot of it has to deal with the Koyanim specifically and certain things that we spoke about last week. Nachimos Kedoshim, about how, especially specifically in Kedoshim, how we are a holy nation, but Dafka specifically this week, Parshas Emor, speaks about the extra levels of Kedusha holiness that comes to with regard to a Kohen. Now, I should mention, I did translate, as is typical just now, Kodesh with holy. What we think of as being holy and what the secular world thinks of as holy are not necessarily the same thing. Actually, the word Kodesh, if you think about it more from a literal translation, means more separated than anything else. So we are the Am Kodesh, the holy people. We are separated from the other nations of the world. And among us, the Kohanim are holy people. They are more separated from from the other members of Kol Yisrael, and that just has to do with the fact that they have to work in the Beis Hamikdash and the various things that they have to do. They have to have a separate level of again, I hate to use the word holiness because really it is not a direct translation, but a level of separation. Because of the types of work that they do. Before going any further, I just wanted to mention, somebody asked if I could mention that last week we counted 27. I'm not going to mention tonight because I did not personally count yet, but last night was 27, which reminds me that next week as well, we know is Lag BaOmer, which of course is not what we're speaking about this evening, but it's a joyous time. That's going to be on Monday night, Tuesday. Hopefully everyone will celebrate Lag BaOmer in the proper way that it's meant to be. Various minhagim about that, as well as how to look at the rest of Sfirah, not what we're speaking about this evening. We're speaking again about Parshas Emor. So I'm going to look at the very first pasuk in the Parsha, Perek Chaf Aleph pasuk Aleph, and the pasuk says, Vayomer Hashem El Moshe, Emor El Hakoyanim B'nei Aaron, Yamarta Alehem L'Nefesh Lo Yitame Be'Amo. That Hashem said to Moshe, say to the Kohen, the priest, the Bnei Aaron, that you shall say to your children, a priest, the Kohen, must not make himself tamei meis, from among his people. And Rashi says in the pasuk, say to the Emor El Kohenim, say to the Kohenim and say again, you shall say to your children that this repetition is intended to admonish and to teach the adults about their children also. They should teach them to avoid tuma. We see this in the Gemara Maseches Yevamos that Rashi is quoting, it's Daf Kuf Yud Dalet Amud Aleph. And that just on that that pasuk, I want to mention I learned in the name of Rav Moshe Feinstein that Rav Moshe says that the pasuk repeats itself, saying Emor, that we say Avemarta, because Hashem is telling Moshe to caution again. That regarding the children, say to the adults that they should say to the children. What indication is there that the second saying was meant for Moshe Rabbeinu's listeners to tell their children? And the simple reading of the pasuk is that Moshe Rabbeinu was being told what he should say to the adults. On the other hand, why does the Torah repeat the word stay? When a parent is obviously joyous when he observes mitzvahs and when it is clear that he finds fulfillment in obeying the Torah, his child wants to follow in the footsteps of the parent. But if the parent finds the mitzvah observance to be, shall we say, burdensome, then telling his children to live according to the Derech HaTorah may not be so effective. So Kodesh Baruch Hu was telling Moshe Rabbeinu to make two statements. The first was that the adult must observe the mitzvahs, and secondly, that they must do so in a way that inspires the children to follow their example, because that is the most effective way to raise B'nai Torah, to raise Torah-observant children. I think it's a fascinating insight from Rav Moshe Feinstein on the pasuk, right, on the Rashi on the pasuk. I want to look in the Midrash. This is actually going to be the fifth Midrash in the Parsha on the pasuk. The Midrash delves right in. Says Rabbi Brachia b'shem Rabbi Levi Yomer, Mashal Yisrael v'chayin shenifchu. The Rabbi Brachia says in the Rabbi Levi that this is analogous to an ordinary Yisrael and a kohen who became epileptic. Nimser lehen reife mumcha v'hayim mitzvah es Yisrael. So the expert doctor was assigned to them, who would instruct the Israel to avoid graveyards, but would leave the kain alone. So the Radal and the Eitz Yosef and the Mahar Tzu say that after being healed from the epilepsy, he would be warned to avoid going to a graveyard, as the spirits of Tuma that exist in the graveyard could bring about the illness again. That's with regard to the Yisrael. But again, to leave the Kohen alone, so that is, he would repeatedly instruct the Yisrael, but instructed the Kohen only once in this matter. Amar loy ha-Kohen mipnei ma'ata mitzava es Yisrael va'ata manicheni. The Kohen asks him, why is it that you instruct the Yisrael, why you leave me alone? Amar loy ze Yisrael hu v'darku l'halech ben ha-kvaros. The doctor replied to him, this man is an ordinary Israeli, and it's normal for him to walk among the graves. Aval ata kain ve'en darkecha lahalich ben kvaros. You are a kain, and it's not normal for you to walk among the graves. L'fichach ani mitzave et Yisrael umanichacha. Therefore, I instruct the Israeli, but I leave you alone. Midrash continues, Kach ha'elyoinim she'en yetzer hara matzoi behem amira achas dahayelahem. Similarly, when instructing the helyoinim, the celestial beings in whom the yetzer hara isn't found, one utterance suffices for them. She'ne'amar, Bagzeiras irin pizgama me'amar, Kadishin Sheilasa, that is, it says that the matter is by decree of the Malach, by the angels, and the inquiry by the words of the Holy Ones. This is the Pasuk in Sefer Daniel, Perek Dalet Pasuk Yud Dalet. That is, Daniel, the Pasuk, is being interpreted in this way. That the matter is by decree of Hashem, that the Malachim and the inquiry is answered by the words of Hashem to the Holy Ones. In other words, the matter of Nebuchadnezzar's punishment, if you look further in the Pasuk in Daniel, that section, that the punishment of Nebuchadnezzar came about because of the Kodesh Baruch Hu's decree upon him that the Malachim carried out, and their inquiry of Hashem as to how they should proceed was answered by his by a word of his. That the Midrash is inferring that the term decree and word in the singular, and the Malachim need to hear from Hashem, was the utterance in order for them to be ready to execute on this mission that Hashem put them on. Aval hatachtoinim sheyesh behem yetzahara halavai lishtei amiros yamdu. However, when instructing the terrestrial or earthly beings who have a Yetzihara within them, would that they should remain steadfast even after two utterances. That is, even after numerous commands and reminders, human beings have difficulty following HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mitzvahs. Hadadu l'chsiv v'yomer Hashem el Moshe emor el ha'kainim v'nei Aaron v'goymer. So therefore it's written, Hashem said to the Moshe, say the kainim v'nei Aaron and tell them. The Midrash is explaining the need for the two terms of Amira that appear in our pasuk, and Emor stayed to the Kainan and tell on Vemarta. So Hashem told Moshe repeatedly to instruct them in order to ensure that they fulfill the mitzvah. And the reason that the Torah taught us this lesson specifically with regard to the prohibition is to teach that a double utterance is required even for the Kaihanim, who again, being the higher level of Kedusha and the fact that they're avoda as Hashem, that they do physically the Beis HaMikdash, that even for them, such an effort and a quote-unquote cost-free type of a commandment is refraining from a contact with a corpse, which, moreover, is a sign of, we'll say, prestige. All the more so when this was true with respect to the ordinary Israeli and regarding other mitzvahs that involve effort and or cost. So the Radal suggests that the discussion in Sefer Tehillim that the Midrash in a previous area mentioned as a prelude to referring to our pasuk. It says that in its first explanation in the pasuk of Tehillim, the Midrash there noted the difference between the Elyonim, the celestial bodies, and the terrestrial beings, in that the celestial bodies borrow and pay back without any documents or judgment between them, whereas terrestrial beings, those who walk the earth, do so only with a lot of noise and contention. So too, when it continues the Midrash, that the celestial beings obey HaKadosh Baruch Hu's command after being instructed only one time, whereas we need to be reminded several times. And so therefore, would it they would remain steadfast? Midrash Tadchuma on Parshas Emor. So, as I mentioned previously, according from the Eitz Yosef, that he would repeat, the kohen would the kohen, that right, the doctor would repeat to the ordinary Israeli, but not to the kohen. He would only say once, and about avoiding the graveyards. But so too, the malachim need to hear HaKadosh Baruch Hu's command only once, whereas we humans need constant reminders. That's again, I think I mentioned, it's following the Eitz Yosef. The Mahar Tzut takes a different tack and follows the Midrash more literally to mean the doctor in the parable and the mashal left the kohen alone and didn't warn him even one time to avoid a graveyard. So too, the analogy would seem that just as a kohen habitually avoids graveyards even without a doctor's special instructions, so too the malachim follow HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will without, it would seem, any instructions from Hashem. A moment later, however, when explaining the analogy, the Midrash says that when it comes to malachim, one utterance suffices for them, implying that they do need at least one divine command. And the Eitz Yosef's approach removes this problem. But on the surface level, it seems like there might be an issue with the Mahar Tzu. But really, there is no discrepancy in the Mahar Tzu. That the one utterance issued to the Malachim was not a mitzvah or a command in the usual sense. It was an ordinary expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will that brought them into being and shaped their natures. The point of our Midrash is that once the Malach's makeup, so to speak, is fixed, that it doesn't need any further instruction. But when it comes to a teman, why do the terrestrial beings need two utterances or more? Why do we need the constant reminders? Because, as the Midrash goes on to say, they have the Yetzirah within them. This wording is significant. The difference is that not that human beings are inherently disposed, chas v'shalom, to be evil or to do evil, or even just to be influenced by evil, but that they, unlike the malachim, have this alien tempter, the Yetzirah, lurking within, goading to act against our basic nature. If it wasn't for this Yetzirah, human beings would need the instructions from Hashem no more than the malachim do. We would be naturally averse to countervening or going against the Kadosh Baruch Hu's will, not only through obviously destructive crimes like theft and murder, chas v'shalom, but even through such what we might think of as benign or small averas, such as coming into a contact with a mace, with a dead body, which our pasuk here forbids to a kohen. From this, we can learn an important truth about ourselves. Maybe not easy to swallow, but an important truth, I think. When we harbor a forbidden desire, we often think that it's an expression of our inner selves, that it's we who want to do the forbidden thing. And here, Chazal exposed this as a fallacy. These urges don't spring from within us, from our true selves, but rather from the stranger within, if you will, whose task it is to turn us against ourselves. That stranger, of course, being the Yetzirah. The case in point, the once powerful desire for Avodah Zarah. The Zman Hazeh, today, it's very clear that this desire is not an inherent part of human nature. In fact, it's so foreign to us that many of us have trouble understanding why the Torah finds it so necessary to warn us so sternly against it. Nevertheless, in previous generations, it held sway over most of mankind, including many Jews, many people of intelligent stature, like Menashe, the Melech Yehuda, and the sage, the scholar who installed the Getchka in the Beis Hamikdash, until Chazal finally abolished it, that Avodah Zarah held such sway. Its power was so great that Menashe was able to assure Rav Ashi in a dream that after Rav Ashi had spoken irreverently about spoken reverently about him, that if you would have been there with me, you would have grabbed my coattails and run after him with idol worship. That's not that Menashe said to Rav Ashi in the Gemara Masechet Sanhedrin Daf Kuf Beis Amud Beis, that you would have run after me as well. So where did this power come from? Only from the alien influence of the Yetzer Hara, which compelled people to throw away their native virtue was something they had no real interest or desire in doing. And so those who realize this, who recognize that the Yetzer Hara is just an imposter and see him for what he is, will find it easier to resist the control that he exerts over our behavior and in accordance with Hashem's will. What then can we do to internalize this truth and overcome this hostile nature within us? The solution is, I think, is the multiple utterances exemplified in our pasuk, that the Emor V'Amarta, the Sefer Kayanim, and tell them by repeating the Torah's lessons and commandments over and over again to ourselves, and driving deeper and deeper into our hearts, into our souls, we can weaken the Yetzer Hara's power to deceive us and free ourselves to pursue what we really want, which is I could say, human greatness as defined by Hashem, meaning to do our best to follow Hashem's will, not for our own sake, but to be great people so we can influence others in positive ways, so we can influence the world that they should follow Hashem, you know, Jew, non-Jew, that we should recognize the importance of Hashem in the world and the primacy of the Torah in the world, so that we can usher in the ultimate and complete redemption of b'mhirah v'yameinu, which again, I think the fact that we are in this period of the Omer between Pesach and Shavuos and the giving of the Torah is an apropos time to think of this lesson, perhaps even in a greater detail. Permit me just another moment that to say we need to repeat to ourselves what is it that Hashem wants from us and follow through with that. I can only speak for myself. I can't speak for other people. But this difficulty with the Yetzer Hara, you know, it can come up on a daily basis, multiple times a day, especially living in the modern society that we find ourselves in. You know, the internet, for example, is a great tool. We use it to learn. We use it for work. A variety of things. It's a great, great tool. On the other hand, while there is no problem with listening to Shirim or watching Torah videos online, if it doesn't take away from other things you need to do during the day, but it's a form of learning, limited Torah, which is a positive thing we should do as much as possible, there are also the proverbial cat videos that people watch on YouTube all day, which are not the best use of our time, to say the least. So everything has a balance. If we can see to ourselves to remind ourselves, okay, technology, for example, is not a bad thing. The internet can be used for Torah or holy purposes, but not to allow ourselves to be brought down, brought back, and listen to the Yetzer Hara to use it for time wasting. We're not even talking about bad things. I'm not even talking about something that's really evil, so to speak. But a waste of time is a bad thing. It is following the Yetzer Hara. We want to not follow the Yetzer Hara. We want to push that away and turn it on its head, so that we can use the negative power that it gives us for a positive thing. And so we won't listen to the Yetzer Hara, but say instead of watching the cat videos for hours on end, but to say, okay, and now I'm going to turn on Sheer Enjoyment or Chabad.org or Aish.com or whichever, or Torah Anytime, and I'm going to learn more. I'm going to teach myself more. I'm going to try to do the best I can, to be the best person that I can, following in the Kodesh Baruch Hu's will the best way possible, And Amir Hashem, by doing so, I will help myself first, and then I'll be able to influence others in a positive way, so that we'll ultimately find a way out of the gullus that we're in and really bring ourselves to the ultimate and complete redemption. We're building the Beit HaMikdash HaShlishi with Mashiach HaKeinu, and here we are. I wish everyone good Shabbos. Zayge Benched.